This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Now let's take today's economic pulse, regular checkups from a range of perspectives. While fully fledged employees of a company have the most legal protections, independent contractors have some. Today, a conversation with a worker with arguably the least access to benefits or redress, a day laborer. This is a sector of the workforce made up largely of immigrants, many without legal permission to live in the U.S. It's a person who gets his work catch-as-catch-can, but at the same time, he's part of a group in the New York metro area, out of the Don Bosco Community Center, that has a system set up to try to protect day laborers from dangerous working conditions and wage theft. Pedro himself is undocumented, and we agreed to withhold his last name. We'll hear his story with help from an interpreter. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Otto.
Tell me about a typical day for you. In the morning, where do you go to find work?
For me and the majority of the other laborers, we have to wake up early. And here where we are, there's a worker center called Don Bosco. We arrive at 7 a.m. I open the center and we get on a list and wait for employers to come.
What kind of work do you do?
There's different types of jobs, from construction, demolition, gardening, moving, housekeeping, hospitality, roofing. Yeah, there's a bit of everything, but that's the most common.
What do you like doing best, and what do you like doing worst of that list of jobs?
Well, we try to accommodate everything, but... Yeah, perhaps working indoors is better because the weather isn't so hot, but you never know where you're going. Sometimes you think you're going to get a job that won't be too tough, and then there's no AC, or it's too cold. You just never know. The weather has a lot to do with it. For example, right now it's really hot, right? So we'd like to work indoors with AC, but a lot of times it's not like that.
Pedro, I asked you, what you like doing the most, what are you actually best at? Is there something that you're especially skilled at doing?
Right now, I'm helping out at the center to coordinate and organize my colleagues. But as a laborer, I specialize in masonry.
And when you show up at 7 o'clock in the morning so early to find out what jobs are available, how do you negotiate how much you'll get paid for the job? Do you negotiate it right there, or is there already an offer being made for the pay?
Well, as organized laborers here at the center, we have an agreement not to charge under a certain amount, and nobody takes a job under that amount. Also, at other job sites, we talk to laborers and explain that it doesn't benefit us to take a job at a lower rate, because then employers will want to keep paying us less. So we try to let laborers in the area know that there's a base wage, right? That's to say, if you take a job as an assistant, not if you're already a construction worker, carpenter, painter, then the wage would be higher. But there's a base wage, precisely so they don't take advantage of our work, so they value us a bit.
And you get what you've been promised? That's not a problem? You will get paid what's been agreed?
Here at the center, that part's very clear. If somebody says, we can't pay you that, then we tell them, we can't take the job because it's not enough money. With understanding that when we go to work, if we get sick or hurt, most of the time we're responsible for those expenses. And obviously we still have to pay the corresponding taxes. So really, it's not that we're charging a lot. There's lots of expenses that need to be deducted from that. That's another important part too. At least here at the center, when my colleagues take a job, we take down license plate numbers, phone numbers, and the employer's name. So they feel a bit more committed. They know we have their information. That discourages them from not paying us. But some of our colleagues, day laborers at other sites, sometimes not as well organized. But some, out of necessity, really, what they want is to work. And sometimes they come to us when someone doesn't want to pay them. Sometimes people will promise them, I'll pay you tomorrow or this weekend. Then a week or two goes by, and unfortunately they don't get paid. And then it's difficult to get them to pay up, and often even impossible.
What happened during the early pandemic in 2020 to you? Was there still work available?
At the beginning of the pandemic, it was really tough because work stopped overnight. And later, when there was work, the conditions were risky. But there still wasn't much work available, and there were a lot of us looking for work. That's when I started to volunteer to try to organize my colleagues here at the center to protect us from COVID, but also to protect us from wage theft, because we started to see more of that. People or companies would come to hire workers, take them longer distances. Sometimes workers would lose track of their hours or of the working conditions, and they wouldn't get paid. Or sometimes they'd get sick and be unable to collect their wages and wouldn't know where to report them to. So it was honestly really complicated.
What about the situation now? I mean, the experts tell me there are lots of jobs out there and a lot of people hiring labor. Is that actually what you see now?
Well, I don't know where those experts are looking or who they're looking at, but here in our community, we're suffering from lack of work. I think it's getting just as hard as when the pandemic started. Jobs are getting really scarce. There's a lot of us, and I know there are many new arrivals, too. So we're worried because winter's coming and job availability drops. Normally, my colleagues and I save in the summer and in the fall so that come winter we can pay our bills and support our families. So yeah, these times have been worrying. Jobs are really scarce. I feel like homeowners, employers, are a little scared about inflation with everything that's happening, and they're not investing in home renovations, repairs, moving. And that affects us, because that means we get hired less often.
When did you start to see it quiet down? Is it in the last couple of months?
Yeah, we noticed it after the 4th of July.
You mentioned inflation, Pedro. What about the prices you pay at the supermarket or for rent or anything? How do these prices affect you?
Bueno, a mis compañeros y a mí nos afecta.
It affects my colleagues and me a lot because before, with $10, you could buy something at the store to make a simple meal. Now that's impossible. Thank God we have community organizations like Don Bosco Community Center or Endelon National Day Labor Organizing Network that sometimes support us to lighten the load a bit, but the cost of everything is going up a lot. Gas, although it's dropped slightly, the price is still high, not to mention rent. There's a big crisis, at least in the area where I'm at. There's no rooms or apartments for rent. And the few that are available, well, for us, they cost a fortune because on our wages, we can't afford them. The inflation situation has affected us greatly. This year, many homeowners and property owners began raising the cost of rents by quite a bit, by a large percentage, which we believe is unfair, and we can't do anything about it. We have no legal protections, have no one to turn to report these unjust rent hikes, because it's unfair for them to raise rent by $300 to $500 all at once. So inflation has hit us hard.
How much can you earn in a day?
As I mentioned earlier, being organized and not taking low wages, we always try to charge at least $20 for an hour of work. So if it's an 8-hour shift, that's $160.
$160. Vuelvo a repetir. Algunos dicen, wow, $20 no está mal.
Some might say, wow, $20, that's not bad. But what about taxes? What about the fact that we don't have health insurance? So when we get sick or things like that, we have to pay those expenses out of pocket. Or we turn to community organizations or clinics that can help us. So, it may not sound like a bad salary to a certain extent, but you have to understand that there are certain deductions we need to account for. And also, we don't work every day. Right now, when work is scarce, someone might work once a week, if that. So, it's important to point that out.
Do you have family nearby?
Yes, I live with my family, my kids. I have two kids.
3 years from now or 5 years from now, what do you hope to be doing?
In 3 or 5 years, I would like to continue helping my community because, as I said, I'm trying to help my colleagues by organizing ourselves to have better working conditions, better wages, preventing wage theft. I want my colleagues to be aware of their rights in regard to health and safety, so they don't risk doing unsafe or sometimes deadly jobs. I'd like my community and my colleagues to be informed and to build a strong community so it can stand up against abuses. And I'd like for my kids to be in school, to graduate from college. It's not going to be easy. Things seem to get harder all the time. But more than anything, I would like more people to be aware of the injustices that exist, that they realize that the immigrant community, the working community, contributes a lot to this state, to this country, and that we're a really important part, a pillar of this country's economy. And yet we're recognized and supported very little. Fortunately, here in the state of New York, we managed to make some changes. For example, the Fund for Excluded Workers. And we keep fighting for better laws that protect all workers, regardless of legal status.
Pedro is a day laborer in the tri-state New York region. He's also an advocate for better working conditions for day laborers. Thank you very much for this.
Gracias también por escucharnos.
Thank you as well for hearing us out.